Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians. In the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, which says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And I divided this verse up into four parts. The first part, that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were without the Messiah, referring to the Gentiles in general. But he's writing to the Ephesians, and he's telling them, you know, you were without Christ, without the Messiah. You were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. But in the previous message, I was explaining that even those who were of the commonwealth of Israel were without Christ. They were without the Messiah because the overwhelming number of the people who were there rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They rejected the Christ. So they were separated as well. They were connected a little bit more than the Gentiles because Jesus was present. He was accessible. They were confronted with the reality of who he was and what he taught. So they were not completely without Christ, but they weren't exactly with Christ either. So I was explaining that the difference between the Jew and the Gentile was not really as profound or as significant as sometimes people would like to believe. Continuing into verse 12, and strangers from the covenants of promise. And I was explaining that even though the Jews were there in the land at this time, they were not really well connected to the covenants of promise. The nation as a whole was not really functioning according to the Mosaic law, according to the definition that God gave in the covenant that he made between himself and the people. The promises were given, but they were conditional. They were conditional on the obedience of the people, which, of course, they were not complying with. They were not obedient to God as was required in the covenant in order to obtain the blessings that were promised if the people obeyed as God required. And so even though they were somewhat connected to the covenants and the promises, the covenants were not really being followed. The promises were not really being delivered or realized. And so the difference between the Jew and the Gentile was not significant. There was not very much of a difference between the Jew and the Gentile because even though the Jew had the covenants and the promises, they were never realized because of the failure to live in obedience to the Mosaic law. Having no hope and without God in the world. Well, they did have God in their lives to a certain extent. But because of the people's failure to comply with their part of the covenants, the promises and the blessings were never realized, and the relationship that existed between God and the people was not very significant in comparison to the lack of relationship that existed between God and the other people, the Gentiles. So God was present, but that did not mean that there was a profound relationship that existed. It certainly did not. The Jews had a little bit more of God in their lives than the Gentiles, but it certainly was not enough. It was nowhere near the kind of relationship that God genuinely wanted to have with people. Again, in verse 12, he says, without hope, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, what was their hope? Their hope was what? It was to have a Messiah, that there would be a Savior, They did not believe in the Messiah who God sent. And so what really was their connection with God with regards to the hope of a Messiah? Hope that he would bless them, hope that he would protect them, hope that he would maybe reestablish the Davidic kingdom. All of these desires that the people had, the hope that they held on to, was based on a conditional relationship that they did not comply with. And so the people themselves, they had a little bit of hope that was based on their false beliefs, that was based on things that they believed that really weren't true. When God showed up personally and offered them a genuine hope through the relationship that could exist through himself as the Messiah, the majority of the people rejected what he offered, and so the hope that they held on to was not consistent with the kind of relationship that God was willing to have with them. And so the hope that they had was not real. It certainly was different from what the Gentiles had, but even though it was different, it was never realized. So what I want you to understand is that, yes, there was a difference. There were many differences between the Jew and the Gentile. But even though those differences existed, that did not mean that the Jews were really much closer to God than the Gentiles. They were still far away from him. They were not connected with him. They didn't really have a genuine relationship with him. The relationship that they thought that they had was one that was defined by the Mosaic law that they were not in compliance with anyway. In fact, because of the nature of the law that God gave, the Israelites were pushed further and further away from their God. The law was not an opportunity for people to draw near to him. The law was an opportunity for people to be confronted with the reality that they were not righteous, that they were not holy. And that was what Jesus was there in the land of Israel doing, was he was explaining to them that they were not righteous, that they were not holy. Their pursuit of drawing near to him according to the law was not happening. It was not taking place. So in verse 13, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul refers to drawing near to God because the Jew was not near to God. And the Gentile, obviously, was not near to God. The Jew was perhaps a little closer, but that distance of being a little closer still was not going to make a real difference when it came to the issues related to righteousness, holiness, relationship, being near to God, being saved. It wasn't about that. It was for the Jew to have more of an opportunity to realize that they were far from God. So in verse 13, this is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All right, now this is important to see. You who were far off were brought near by the blood of Christ. The Ephesians, who Paul was writing to, the Gentiles, they were brought near by the blood of Christ. They were far off, and now they were brought near in this way. But the Jew was also far off because they rejected the blood of Christ. Now, because of the historical content and the historical relationship, and because of the giving of the law with the nation of Israel, there certainly is a lot of history to recognize, but the people were still considered to be far off because they were not drawn near by the blood of the Messiah. I want you to see that even though Paul says that the Ephesians or the Gentiles were once far off, I want you to see that the Jews were just as far off, equivalently, effectively, because they rejected the blood of Christ, the blood of the Messiah, the forgiveness, which is what this really implies. When he speaks of the blood of Christ, he's referring directly to the forgiveness that was provided through the blood of Christ, through the crucifixion. This was established through the Mosaic law, the idea of there being no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. In fact, it was the life within the blood that made for the atonement, which was the remembrance of sins until the later date, which happened here, when the sins would be forgiven, which was accomplished through the Messiah himself. He did that, and there were some Jews who embraced that truth and drew near to God by the blood of the Messiah, by the forgiveness that had been given to them. But most of them did not. Most of them rejected Jesus as their Messiah. They rejected the gospel. They rejected what Jesus accomplished. So they were still far off, far away from God. In fact, you could say, because of the rejection, that they were further away from God than the Gentiles, until, of course, the Gentiles would reject the gospel, then they also would be very far away from God. But this is what I want you to see from verse 13. It's only the crucifixion of the Messiah, it's only the provision of the forgiveness of sins that will draw people near to God. How were the Jews drawn near to God without Jesus, before Jesus showed up and after they rejected the Lord Jesus as the Messiah? How did they believe that they were drawing near to God? They believed that they were drawing near to God through the Mosaic law, through the law that God gave through Moses. They would repent of their sins and obey the commandments. And it was a belief that they held on to that if they were to do this, then they would draw near to God. Now, God never promised that they would draw near to him or they would be near to him really if they succeeded. What he promised was that he would bless their flesh. He would provide them with plenty of flour in their kneading bowl. He would participate in their lives and help protect them from devastation through war. They would lend and they would not borrow. Their children would not be consumed by wild animals. Those were the kinds of things that God promised if the people would succeed in living in obedience to the law. It had nothing to do with them being drawn near to him as a person. It was a belief that people had that if they were to succeed at repenting from their sins and obeying the commandments of God, well, then by default, of course, they have drawn near to God. In that way, they would draw near to him. But it says here in verse 13 that if you're going to draw near to God, if you're going to be near him, it's going to be on the basis of his forgiveness. The Jews had the law. They did not have a need. From their point of view, they did not have a need for forgiveness. If they committed a sin, they have a sacrifice for that. They have restitution for that, or they have an execution. Either way, there was a way to resolve the issues related to sin through the law. They had no need, from their point of view, they had no need for forgiveness from God through the Messiah because they had the law that they could exercise and supposedly get right with God. And this is what I want you to understand, is that the law pushed people away from God. It did not draw people near to him. It pushed people further and further away. Now, this is a little bit difficult to recognize because you have to be quite sincere. You have to be quite devoted in order to subject yourself to a lifestyle that is similar to that which God described in the law. If you're really going to live that way, you're going to have some degree of sincerity associated with that. And what people believe, it is a belief that they will draw near to God, that God will be drawn near to them. And my point is that because of the failure, because we will never succeed, God will be pushed further and further away from us, or more correctly, we will be pushed further and further away from him because of the relentless and consistent revelation of our depravity and our failure to obey as God requires. The law itself will push a person further away from God. Now, if there is the belief that they succeed, if a person believes that they are successful in living in obedience to the law, then again, they are being pushed further and further away from their God because they are believing things that are not true, that God will agree with. And when God is not in agreement with a person, He is not close to that person, and that person is not close to Him. They are separated further and further away by the things that they believe that are not consistent with one another. And so this is why it's so important to understand what God thinks, what He believes, what He sees, and what He defines in terms of what is true and what is not true. And from God's point of view, the sin issue between us and God needs to be resolved. When it is resolved, then He will be close to us. We can be near to Him. But until it's resolved, there needs to be some resolution of some kind. And if you seek a resolution in any other way outside of what God did for you, then you are being pushed further and further away from your God. You are not being drawn near to Him. Now, this is an issue that has been kept alive even in the modern church today. Really, ever since the church began, this has been a topic. But today, you will see that there are many people who are still trying to get right with God. They still believe that the sin issue has not yet been completely resolved. They are not resting in the completed work that God accomplished through the blood of Christ. They don't really believe that. The way you know is because they keep the sin topic alive. They keep the forgiveness topic alive. And they keep the topic of the law alive. But they do it in ways that are not necessarily so obvious. For example, when it comes to the subject of forgiveness, there are many people who genuinely believe that they are obtaining forgiveness today through their apology, through their confession, through saying they're sorry, through mechanisms such as that, which are outside of the blood of the Messiah, outside of what He did through His crucifixion. What they believe instead is that He has instituted a new sacrificial system such that we don't sacrifice animals on the altar. Instead, now the new sacrifice is confession and apology and repentance and stuff like that. But it really ends up being a sacrificial system that's similar to what the Israelites had in the sense that it is never ending. It is something that will continue day after day, week after week. In general, people will never let the sin issue die. They keep it alive. And through keeping it alive, people are relentlessly reminded that God holds their sins against them. And as long as God holds their sins against them, they are being pushed away from their God. They are not drawing near to their God. The closest that they may ever get is to a belief that, okay, now at this moment, I am right with God. I'm good to go until I sin again, which will happen quite soon. That belief in being drawn near to God is not consistent with how God wants us to be near to Him. He wants us to be near to Him because the sin issue is over, not because people keep it alive. Now, another part of this is that in order to keep it alive, you have to have a system of right and wrong. You have to have a description of what sin is. You have to have a description of what you are doing wrong as opposed to what you should be doing, that which is right. And in many cases, people will suggest that if you fail to do that which is right, then you are violating your God and you need to obtain forgiveness, just to give you an example. But however this is described, however it is packaged, it ends up still being the same thing. A system of law. And while you will find it is not as detailed as the Mosaic Law, it is not about all of the laws related to the Mosaic Law. Instead, it's just a few of them. You know, people will just pick and choose a few laws that they like, or of course, that they feel that they can obey easily, or those that are just plain obvious, that we know that those things are just absolute evil, people will still define a system of law, even though it is not going to be the complete Mosaic law. It'll be Levitical light is what I like to call it. Levitical light, a lighter version, something that could perhaps be a little bit easier. Fewer commandments, you know, maybe just pick the first 10, something like that. But the effect will still be the same. A person will still be pushed away from God. In order to draw near to Him, there must be an end of the law. There must be an end of the pursuit of the knowledge of good and evil and the establishment of a person through their obedience to the knowledge of good and evil, through not sinning so much and doing that which is right. However a person may want to describe it, there has to be an end to this. This was an argument that started in the Garden of Eden. Do we live by the knowledge of good and evil or not? And a person must come to the end of themselves and recognize that there has to be a different way of life than that. The Jew had a little bit of an advantage that they were at least exposed to these issues. But that was it. Some exposure, a little bit of an advantage, but they are no closer to God than a Gentile other than that, other than some exposure to that which they cannot do. So the Jew will have an advantage depending upon how honest and sincere they are. They will have an advantage in the sense that they will have had a little bit more condemnation in their life than the Gentile. But on the other hand, within the Gentile world ever since, through the different Christian religious systems that people have ended up with, the effect has still been the same, where people live under condemnation because of their failure to repent and obey to the satisfaction of God. So there must be an end of the law, and this is what Jesus accomplished. Through the blood of Christ, He provided for forgiveness, and the forgiveness is the forgiveness of all sin. And the law is clear about the definition of what sin is, but regardless of this definition, it has been resolved by the blood of Christ. Another way to look at this is to say that the wages of sin is death. Your life certainly isn't worth giving, but the life of God Himself, as He presented it through Jesus on the cross, that was worth giving, and that satisfied the demand of the law. The law demanded obedience or death. Well, God died on our behalf, so that was fulfilled. It was not fulfilled by our obedience. It was fulfilled by His death on our behalf. That is how He fulfilled the demands of the law. So the law has been fulfilled. What it required has been presented, has been given, has been accomplished. Jesus obeyed the law on His own behalf, and He died for our sins. He died on our behalf in order to fulfill the demands that He established when He defined the nation of Israel through the law. So when Jesus died and rose from the dead, it was the beginning of a new era, a new time, a new covenant, so that people could draw near to Him, because they could not draw near to Him through the law. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.